This is Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR. This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
And a very good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Talk 870. I'm your host, Earl Robinson, and I'll be with you until 2 o'clock discussing sports with you. So just give us a call at 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. And our email address, sportstalk@wkar.org. Glad to have you with us, and we're going to talk a lot of sports today. As most of you know, Michigan State is in action right now, and you can watch the game on your computer. And if you want to see what's going on, Michigan State is leading at halftime 53-37. So they're up by 16 over Iowa, and looks like that should be a very easy win for the Spartans. And there'll be other Big Ten games coming up later on, but we'll talk about that. But there's a lot of high school action today, and we'll review some of the high school games. We'll talk about that as well. We're scheduled to talk with Antonio Tarver, but there was a schedule mix-up, and we won't have him on today. So we'll try to get him on at a later time. But right now, if you want to talk some basketball with us, the Spartans off to a very good start in the Big Ten tournament in their first game. And it looks like... You know, you never can never say for sure about anything, but it definitely looks like the Spartans are on their way to an easy victory over the Iowa Hawkeyes. Iowa started out fast, but then Michigan State's defense has really put them under control, and they got a grip on that. Now, also, in case you hadn't heard, it was announced yesterday, and it was and made official today, Illinois has fired Bruce Weber. He's gone now. So I was watching some of the things this morning, and they're searching for the coach. Of course, you know, the AD says everything was Bruce Weber was such a good coach. So I'm sitting there thinking, well, if he was such a good coach, why'd you let him go? And but they let him go, and they said he was a good man. He did a good job while he was there. But, of course, you know, in college sports, just like professional sports, the reality is there's really no difference between college and professional sports. If you don't win enough games, you're going to lose your job. It's that simple. Whether you're in basketball, whether you're in football, those are the two premier sports in our country. And you have to win to keep your job. And you have to win probably a pretty good share of your games if you want to keep the job and keep things running smoothly. So Bruce Weber didn't do that. So he's gone from the University of Illinois. And Illinois will be probably, they'll probably make a national search, that is, and come up with somebody. Or they'll probably steal somebody off another team, you know. But that's what they do with these big institutions. They'll rob other schools. So if they can entice someone from another school to come over, it'll be done, and that's for sure. So just get ready to watch that one. Who does Illinois hire for their new coach? They probably won't get someone out of the assistants ranks. More than likely, it'll be someone who's already been coaching for quite a few years. Hey, give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. Our email address, sportstalk@wkar.org. Glad to have you with us today, and glad to see if you would love to talk some sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. Later on today, we're going to be chatting with the Lansing Catholic Central head coach, Darren Zwick. He's going up against Lansing Sexton tonight. That should be a terrific game. Both teams are 21-1. So we'll talk with Coach Zwick a little bit later on today's edition of Sports Talk 870. And just looking at all the other matchups and former Michigan State coach is in action today. University of South Florida coach Stan Heath, he's in action. They're going against Notre Dame. Should be a good game for them, a good chance for Stan Heath. He's taken two teams to the NCAAs already, and that's he's been Kent State, he's been Arkansas, and now he's at USF. So this could be his third team. So Stan Heath has done a very good job out there in the coaching arena, in the coaching world, and this could be his third team going into the NC2A tournament. So we can talk something about that, and we'll also look at some of the not matchups in football, but some of the things that are going on in football. And some things are going on in baseball. As you know, this is spring, so we have a lot going on today. And, of course, you have the combine coming up next month. The draft, that is. The draft will be coming up next month, so get ready for that. And looking at the draft coming up and looking at the teams and the players that are available. Mel Kiper, that is, gave a little preview of how he thinks the Michigan State players are going to do. He's still saying he wouldn't be surprised, in essence, if Drell Worthy slips into the second round. That's a possibility. And Kirk Cousins, he already says, will probably be a second-round pick. When one of those prognosticators, one of those so-called experts, I predict second round, third round, I would say you should probably drop him down another round. Worthy could be, I would say he's been projected by mostly in the first round. That means he'll probably, a low first round pick, that means somebody will probably get him in the second round. And if Cousins is projected being a second round pick, that means he'll probably be picked in the third round. That's just the way it works in most years. So the people that do the prediction, prognostication, they aren't the guys who are making the choices, the teams that make the choices. So the teams that make the choices, they view them a little bit differently. And so I would say they both be probably will drop down a peg, maybe a notch or two. I mean, just like last year when Greg Jones was thought about going being a second, third round pick, he went in the sixth round. He dropped down quite a few rounds. So we'll have to wait and see on those. But I would say be conservative. Probably will lose at least one round of where people thought they would be drafted. So give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 1:05 to 2 o'clock right here on AM 870. If you've never called us before, we ask you to come a first-time caller. Join us in the afternoons. Call us up and talk sports with us right here on AM 870. We have the hockey playoffs starting tonight, Michigan State, Miami of Ohio. That's going to be a tough matchup. All the games will be a tough. Them in Miami of Ohio. Miami of Ohio had very good success over the Spartans during the regular season, and now they have got it again and are going again. So we'll watch that one very closely tonight when Michigan State and Miami of Ohio meet up. Right now, let's see, we'll go up. Well, let's go to the phones, and hello, you're on the air. Hey, Steve.
How you doing, buddy?
Okay.
Good. Should be a great game tonight, Lansing Catholic and Sexton.
It should be. It should be. Everybody's wondering how close, I don't know. Do you think Catholic Central can win it, or how close would you say? People are saying, well, if they can come in within 10 points, that'll be a good win. We know coaches don't like those kind of moral victories, but that's what seems to be most of the sentiment.
Well, Coach Zwick over at Lansing Catholic, he's won a state championship. He's won a ton of games. I'm sure there's no moral victories in his vocabulary. He's going to get his guys tonight to go out there, and they're going to want to win that game. If they lose by one, he's going to be miserable for a whole year. I can guarantee you that.
I can see that too, yes, because I talked with him recently. We'll have him on the show later on today. But, yes, he definitely wants that game has been talked about since the pairings came out. If those two match up, and they match up now with identical records. So it should be a heck of a game.
Well, when we played Lansing Catholic 2 weeks ago, we had a couple of goals in mind, and number one was to stop Stevie Repahowski, and that's going to be Sexton's probably biggest thing on defense. If you can stop Stevie, you got a great chance of winning. And what you got to do is you got to make shots against Sexton. We played two games against him this year. We were in both games till the very end, and we were making shots. And Lansing Catholic is capable of making a lot of threes. Cooper Rush has got a rebound. And their young sophomore, the 6'7" sophomore, has got a rebound also.
Okay. Well, how do you see that Okemos-Lansing Eastern game? That could be an interesting tilt.
You know what? I'm going to read the score tomorrow in the newspaper, but it just sickens me that we can't be there tonight. Eastern and beat us on Monday night, and congratulations to them and Ole Miss for meeting for the second year in a row. Should be a great game. It's going to be a up-and-down type of affair. I think Ole Miss, though, they may try to slow the tempo a little bit because with a guy like Chris Harris and Doc, you can do things like that. Their main objective, Earl, on offense is probably going to get the ball inside to Taylor Moat, because I don't think Eastern has anyone that can guard him in the post. He's exploded for a few games over 20 points. So I think that's going to be close. I'm actually going to call Ole Miss by two, Earl.
Okay. Yes, because they've got a player back that hadn't played most of the year, and he's come in and did a nice job for Ole Miss.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I think Dan Stoles does a fabulous job, and obviously Rod Watts does too. You know, Easton's won a ton of games this year. They're very athletic, but I think Chris Harris and Doc's going to have a good game tonight, and I think Ole Miss is going to get a payback from last year's buzzer beater by Cha-Cha.
Yes. Now, the other game, we might as well talk about the other, Mason and Jackson. That should be a good one.
It really is, Earl, and I'm so excited. There are a lot of good games tonight. Jackson's very fast. We played them twice. They're very athletic. They got a young man who just became eligible for them about five or six games ago. He came from, I think, Flint or Grand Rapids. He just showed up in Jackson. His name is Marquise Mondi. He's a really good player. He's about 6'3", 6'4". He's very athletic, and he's going to be the key to that game. I don't know. I haven't followed Mason all year. I don't know if they've played anyone as athletic as Jackson this year.
Yeah, they probably haven't. I saw them a couple of times this year. They've got a pretty good team. They you're right. They're not as athletic as Jackson or as most teams, but they've got a couple of really good shooters on their team.
I think at this situation now, world, this time, you got to make shots against teams that are more athletic. You know, we're watching Michigan State here in the first half, and they're shooting almost 70% from the field. You know, they got kids coming off the bench making shots, paying 5 for 5 from the field. So it's a simple statement, Earl, but you got to make shots if you have a chance to win.
That's for sure. You can't win if you don't make shots.
That's right.
That's just a part of the sport of basketball, that's for sure. And you got to probably play a little bit of defense. That would help as well.
Yeah, I think so. I think a lot of times we try to dissect the game, and all these coaches, I like to call it overcoaching. I think everybody gets too caught up, these so-called experts on ESPN, about all these things going on. But, Earl, you know what? If you can't stop somebody from scoring, and if you can't score, you got no chance.
Oh, that's for sure. That is the way it is in our sport. But it's a lot of fun to follow it and watch it. You know, I don't. My boy is, you know, Tim makes a lot of predictions. I don't make the predictions like Tim makes, but you know, they can be fun occasionally, especially when you're right.
Yeah, they really could be. I've learned try not to predict too much. You know, I don't know if we keep track of who predicts what, but I'm not really good at them either, Earl. I just like to sit back and watch a good game. But like you said, it's always fun when you're right.
Yep. Hey, thanks a lot, Steve. We got to go. We got Darren Zwick coming up shortly. But thanks for the call and thanks for the conversation, buddy.
Have a great weekend.
Okay, you too. Yep, bye-bye. And that's Steve Finnemore, the head coach of East Lansing High School, who last week, Lansing Eastern knocked them out of the tournament. So we're going to talk now shortly with Darren Zwick with us from Lansing Catholic Central. The time is 20 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break on AM 870 WKAR.
Ever wonder why coffee and cream go so well together? I'm Ira Flatow. Join me on Science Friday for a look at the science of taste and how to get more from your next bite. Plus, how closely related are we to gorillas and how exercise can change your DNA? It's all on Science Friday from NPR.
And that's Science Friday on Talk of the Nation coming up today at 2 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
It'll become mostly sunny today. It'll be windy, too, and the high will be 35 degrees. Partly cloudy tonight. Look for a low in the upper teens. Warmer for the weekend. Windy and mostly sunny with a high of 50 tomorrow. And on Sunday, the high 58. It'll be mostly sunny on Sunday. I'm Scott Pohl.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527, toll-free, 877-9527-870. Our email address, sportstalk at www.AmericanCoffeeAndCreamGo.org. And remember, we come your way each and every day. That's Monday through Friday from 1:05 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. So send us an email or give us a call. But right now, we're going to chat a little basketball. Big game coming up tonight between Lansing Catholic Central and Lansing Sexton. We've got the Lansing Catholic Central coach on the line, Darren Zwick, and let's bring in the coach. Coach, how you doing?
Hey, Earl, how you doing today?
Okay. Well, you've got a toughie all night. You know, this game has been circled on many teams' calendars since the pairings were announced, and now it's here. Your teams have had great seasons. Both teams 21-0. I had Coach Valentine on yesterday. I said this is one of those games I really hate to see either team lose because you both had a great record, you both had great season, and you both have great programs. So it'll be a shame to watch either team lose. But you know that each team is going to play their hearts out.
Yeah, well, absolutely. You know, I think it's definitely number one is a game that has been on our kids' radar for a long time. And, we know Sexton well, and this will be the fourth straight year that we've had the opportunity to play them in the state tournament and the third straight year in the district final. So, our kids are looking forward to it, and we know Sexton's, a very good basketball team, and that makes it a challenge, but same token, I guess that's what the state tournament's all about. It's never easy, and you got to beat good teams to move on, and we're aware of that. And I know we'll put our best foot forward tonight.
Yes, because I mean every game, it's like the challenge gets a little more difficult. I mean, I don't know if kids can see that, on the outside looking in a long way away, but every game gets tougher as you go up the ladder trying to win that state championship, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely, and so I think the key is like any game, you got to make sure that you're playing well, and you come in with a plan, and that everybody understands what the plan is, and that the kids believe in themselves, and then you really hope that things go your way, that you're doing the right things out there, and then the scoreboard takes care of itself. And our kids are very excited for this and have prepared themselves very well. And we're looking forward to it tonight.
So can you tell us a little bit of the plan? I know you can't give away everything, but can you give us a little tease, I say?
Yeah, well, I certainly can. Of course, I can't give away all the trade secrets over the airwaves.
Sure.
But, I don't think it's any secret. When you're playing Sexton, they have a lot of athletes, and they definitely score a lot of points and play at a high pace. So you got to be able to control that. And I've mentioned it before that, we're going to have to control tempo. That's the big thing. So, you got to figure out a way to slow them up and make them play in the half court. And then, for us on the offensive side, really do what we've been doing all year, which is sharing the basketball. And when we do that, we become pretty efficient offensively as well.
Yes. Would this be one of those games where, I guess, I know fans don't pay a lot of attention to that, or the public doesn't either, that you have to really make sharp, crisp passes. You can't make little lazy passes, because they're so quick and so fast, they could tip them off and could intercept a lot of passes. So you think one of the things you have to be really sharp and crisp with the passes you make?
Yeah, absolutely. Earl, boy, you're really observant. Boy, you get that right on the head. Sexton does a really good job, and Carlton's done a great job of getting those guys out in the passing lanes and making it difficult for teams to move the basketball. So, again, that's another piece of it, making sure that guys are aware of where they're at on the floor offensively, understanding passing angles. I mean, that's a big thing, understanding the angle that you're delivering the basketball and make sure that we have guys there coming to it, that they're crisp and moving together. So it kind of gets back to what I said, where we all need to be on the same page, moving together, five cohesive guys out there offensively tonight.
I know after that last game we talked about the rebounding aspect. That's going to be a big key for you as well, isn't it?
Absolutely. Fortunately, we have a little bit more size this year than we've had the last couple of years when we've played these guys, and I think that's going to help us out a little bit too. But, Sexton's a very athletic team with a lot of guys that can get off the floor. So you're going to have to really rely on the fundamentals of, of understanding where the ball is coming off, making sure that guys are closing out the way that they're supposed to, and again, making sure that, you know, especially defensively, that it's not just one or two guys trying to rebound the basketball, but it's a team effort. It's five guys really trying to go after that thing and owning that thing when you can.
I know Sexton got off to a slow start in their game the other night. They only got 10 points in the first quarter. That got the coach's attention, Carlton's Valentine's attention, and probably got the team's attention. So I guess it's safe to say they probably won't get off to a slow start as they did in the last game.
I agree. I mean, whenever you prepare your team for a championship game, whether it's a league championship, a district championship, regional, state final, you know, you gotta always expect that your opponent's gonna give you their best shot, and we talk about that with our players all the time. You know, you gotta expect the best, so we gotta make sure that we're giving our best shot right back. So we're prepared for that tonight. You know, I don't see Sexton sleepwalking into this game at all. I really see them coming out with a lot of energy and a lot of emotion, and you know, we'll be ready for it and ready to match it.
You know, Coach, I've been looking at all the teams that are in the district finals tonight, and we've got a lot of teams from this area, from the Mid-Michigan area, in district finals. That's got to be a testament of how tough the basketball has been in this area this year.
Yeah, you know, Mid-Michigan basketball was really, really good. I mean, it starts right with our largest division. You know, the CAAC Blue was great, and all the way down into our division, we have three teams in district finals tonight as well. So it is a testament to the solid basketball that takes place here in Mid-Michigan. And you know, the unfortunate thing is, you know, we're all there. It's great, but you know, a couple of us are playing each other, so. You know, only one gets to move on, and so we're, you know, if we're that team, we're all hoping for that.
When you're doing your preparation, getting ready from game to game, because you have to make such quick changes to face the next opponent in every game, how difficult is that, putting a game plan together and getting everything together for a game when you only have basically a day to prepare?
Yeah, actually, I think our philosophy real is, you know, we try to put in a few key things to start the season, and then just make some minor tweaks to those, you know, depending on the opponent that we're playing. I kind of look at it as you know, being a student in the classroom. You don't want to try in one day to try to cram for an exam. You want to prepare for that over the course of the whole season or the whole semester if we're talking school. So that's really always been our approach. We do a few key things, especially on the defensive side, and you know, then depending on the opponent that we're playing, we just try to modify that a little bit. And I think that keeps it a little bit simpler for the kids, and it allows them to adapt a little faster than maybe trying to put in a brand new defense or a brand new offense in one day. So, you know, we've been preparing for this all season long, and you know, feel we have the things in place to make us successful.
Well, I know one thing, you have to make it, be able to adjust on the fly. For example, because I was at that game, I think it was against Eaton Rapids, when they slowed the ball down so much, and you had to play basically a very patient slowdown game, and you've had to play teams that, you know, like the up-tempo game and the fast game. So you really have to be cognizant of what the style is going to come out. But if a team comes out like that team did and just played a slowdown and walking up the court kind of a thing, boy, you really have to be on your P's and Q's, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, you always got to help kids understand situations, whether it's a slow situation like you described, whether a team's playing really fast, and how you're going to counter that. So, you know, sometimes you can anticipate it, sometimes that you can't. And, you know, the biggest thing is just to make sure that kids are well prepared for it. And then whatever happens, that you're quickly to adapt and adjust to kind of, you know, fine tune what you need to do to win the game.
Yes. Now, as far as rebounding, we talk. Most people, you know, do a pretty good job on the defensive end and defensive rebounding. But how important is it to get guys to try to get more active on the offensive glass?
Well, you know, we talk about, you know, playing percentages and trying to understand where the basketball is coming off and anticipating that a little bit. So, you know, I think a big part of rebounding, you know, is becomes instinctive, and also becomes just guys that really want to go, you know, own the basketball, say, I got to have this thing and go get it. So we put an emphasis on both our offensive and defensive rebounding, and you know, we work on it to get kids to understand you know, where that ball's coming off, how, you know, again, the position that they need to be in, that give themselves the best chance to go get it. And of course, anytime you can pick up those offensive boards, that gives you another possession, and possessions are key. So we want to create those opportunities for ourselves.
Yes, and which is very good. One other thing, when you I looked at the offensive rebounding, and that of course is a plus. But the one thing I've been very cognizant about your team over the years, especially the last 3 to 4 years, your team has always been very unselfish. Your guys always do a very good job of sharing the basketball.
Yeah, and I just think that's just kind of philosophy that we have in place with our program. You know, we know who our key guys are, and we want to get those guys shots. But those guys also understand that they're going to get their shots, but it might not be off pass one. It might be off pass five. And when we're really good and efficient offensively, you're right. We're sharing the basketball. You know, we don't necessarily care who gets the shot. We just want to make sure that we're getting a good shot. And I always have confidence in the guys that are on the floor that at any given time, any guy that's in there for us can knock down that open jump shot. And if we work for it and that's the shot we get, I feel good at the end of the day.
Yes, I know you. As you know, I watch so many basketball games. I'm going here and there and everywhere to games. The one thing I've noticed consistently is that the best players on the team don't often get enough shots, or they get a shot that is really not a good shot, because a lot of times the other guys on the team want to get a shot themselves, you know, which is understandable. But, you know, when you got a team that can really understand, hey, these are the best shooters on the team, let's try to get them the ball in the right place. But oftentimes that doesn't happen, though, does it?
No, it doesn't. And I think you got to really, you know, and it's tough because, yeah, all the kids, you know, want a score. That's,
yes,
that's what they're out there for. But also, if you can kind of define roles for kids and still make them all part of the offense, but then they gravitate towards that guy that they know, can score a little bit more for you. But also, I think another key to that, Earl, is making sure that sometimes guys are delivered the basketball at the right time and in the right spot. And that's key with any good offensive team.
Yes, that's one thing I've learned from being out here with Coach Izzo. He tries to make sure that every player, that you make the proper pass, and maybe that's an undervalued, that they make the pass in a possession where the guy is ready to shoot it at. Not down by his feet, and he's got to pull it up, you know, and get in that ready-to-shoot position, but try to get it where he's ready to shoot, and he's just got to lift up and get the shot off. And I know that's harder to do in high school, though, isn't it?
Yeah, and it is. I mean, that's something that we emphasize in our program for sure. Is you know, it's not only the guy shooting the basketball, but it's the guy that's delivering the basketball. And if you deliver it right in the shooting pocket, you know, that's the difference between getting off a nice clean open look versus if it hits them in the shins or it's above their head. All of a sudden, they got to move it back into that shooting pocket, and instead of it taking a second to get off, it takes 2 seconds, and maybe the defense has closed them back out. So you know, the pass that leads to that shot is as important almost as the shooter themselves.
Yeah, let me ask you about the 3-point shot in high school basketball, because I was one that really wasn't for that shot coming into high school ball, because it's basically taken away that intermediate game. How do you look at that 3-point shot?
Well, you know, I love the 3-point shot. I'll date myself a little bit. It came in actually my senior year in high school, which was 1987-88, and you know what it's done is to me, it's added some more excitement to the game. You know, some teams that maybe are more perimeter oriented, sometimes that 3-point line keeps them in the game. Or a team that's down, you know, quickly they can get back into the game. So I think that's the positive part of it. I think it really the only negative part with that line is with the younger kids in their development. You know, you often go into a gym, you know, say it's fourth or fifth graders, and they're all trying to you know, shoot up that 3-point shot.
That's for sure.
And what happens then is you end up, as those kids get older, kids with bad shooting form and bad rotation and all those things that you need to correct. So, you know, I think it's good for the high school game on up. You know, I'm not sure it's great for for the 4th and 5th grade kids, you almost wish you could take a magic eraser and get rid of that line for the really young kids, just so that they start in closer and really get, develop good form and good habits.
Yes, and hopefully they'll learn to get back, because a lot of times, you know, on those three-point shots, the ball about further out, and the other team is getting a fast break. So that also gives you a tool to teach guys to get back on defense.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, as those long rebounds come off, and if you're a team that likes to get out in transition, you know, defensively you got to get back if you know you're playing one of those teams, and we're playing one of those teams tonight. So that's something that has been a point of emphasis for us going into tonight.
Yes, you've got a very tough one. Well, the number one team in the state in Class B, the defending state champions. You probably don't have to discuss that much because obviously the kids probably know already how good Lansing Sexton is.
Yeah, you know, I think you know, the group of kids that I have is very familiar with not only watching Sexton play, but they play a lot against those kids, whether it's in the summer or in open gyms or a pickup game. So it's a familiar group of kids to us as well, Sexton is. But our guys have a ton of confidence early. You know, we're 21-1 and have played good basketball all year long, and you know, we're very confident in our ability if we do things the right way tonight to win that district championship.
Yes, and I know you have to have a lot of confidence in your team and their ability to do things, but you got to be nervous a little bit. I mean, playing a team like Sexton, you know how good they are, you know how good you are, but you probably still have a little nerves tonight, don't you?
Well, absolutely, that's always a good thing. I think that the kids will be a little bit nervy as a coach. Yeah, you worry about every single game, no matter who you're playing, because you just never know how kids are going to respond. But you know, I guess personally for me, I try to remain pretty level and make sure that that the kids see that in me. And also, you know, I always have a lot of confidence in the kids that I put on the floor, and I want them to see that in me as well. And that really just to me gives us the opportunity to put our best foot forward.
Okay, well, best of luck to you tonight, Coach, and I'll be out there tonight. This is the game to see tonight, so I will see you tonight. So best of luck for you, and good luck in tonight's game against Sexton.
All right. Well, thanks a lot for having me on, Earl. It's always a pleasure.
Hey, thanks a lot to you, Coach.
Okay. Take care. Yeah,
bye-bye. Bye-bye. And that's Coach Darren Zwick, the head coach of Lansing Catholic Central, as they play the Lansing Sexton Big Reds tonight, 21-1. Both teams are, and I tell you, Jacob, that's going to be a heck of a game tonight. That's between the two best teams in the state in Class B. That should be a special game tonight. I know I'm looking forward to going. You ought to be going out to that game.
Hey, there's some good Big Ten basketball on tonight I'll be watching. It's my last day of spring break, so, you know, I got to find something fun to do.
You can always watch a Big Ten game, but how often do you get a chance to watch some really good high school basketball?
That's actually a good point. High school basketball is a lot of fun. I used to, back when I was in high school, I used to go to games and cover them for the newspaper and stuff. So, yeah, they are a lot of fun, a lot to go to. But it's, you know, especially if you're ingrained in, you know, and you know what's going on. So that's the other thing. But, yeah, I haven't been to a high school game in a while. Maybe I'll go catch one. Maybe you're convincing me. I don't know.
Yeah, you can just come out to see a game. It's going to be a good one, and that's going to be a lot of fun, that's for sure. Hey, give us a call, talk sports with us. Well, you can give us an update. You can look up the score. Give us an update on the Michigan State score. I know it's got to be close to the end.
It is 7, where they're at the under-8 timeout, the under-8 media timeout, and Michigan State is up 81-53. So
wow.
It is expanding. But really, Adrian Payne, 7-for-7 from the field. With 7 rebounds, 15 points. Draymond Green's got 21 points, 8 of 14 shooting. So, really, the story of this game, as it always is when you've got a 30-point lead, is the shooting. It's Iowa's, you know, not shooting bad, 40%, but when Michigan State's shooting 70%, that's going to be the 30-point lead there. So, you know, Iowa had a respectable 39 points at the half. It's
yes.
Just, you know, they can't stop Michigan State, so it's gotten out of hand. So, it appears, barring a historic comeback of, you know, giant proportions, that Michigan State will advance to the next round.
Oh, yes, and I tell you, Adrian Payne, that's the surprise, because he's been so inconsistent all year long. To have another good game like this, that's very good for him. Hopefully, he'll get to the point where he'll play something like that, or at least close to this good game in and game out, instead of he'll have a good game, then he'll have a bad game, or he'll have a good game and a so-so game. So hopefully this leads to him becoming a more consistent player, becoming more consistent consistent in having good games.
Absolutely. Keith Appling also perfect from the field, 3 for 3, and he's also getting the line six attempts, 5 of 6 from the free throw line so far with 12 points. So he's playing a pretty good game as well.
Yeah, how many assists has he had?
He has 6 assists.
Okay.
So, you know, pretty good game for him. So all around right now, just a really a good performance by Michigan State. So that's the good news. 81-55 now the score, 7:20 left in the second half.
Well, Michigan State is in control of that game, so it looked like the Spartans are heading on to the next round. It gets a little bit more difficult in the Big Ten tournament. You've got the 4 best teams left in the Big Ten, or actually the 8 best teams left in the Big Ten playing for now. So this tournament should be really good this year. I mean, they say the games are already sold out for the next games that they've had sell out for those games. So the Big Ten tournament is living up to its billing. The Big Ten has been billed as the number one conference in the nation. State and Michigan and Ohio State still in the hunt for a number one seed, even though some of the commentators don't think they'll get one. No matter who wins the tournament, they'll think they'll be on the outside looking in. But it'll be interesting to see, though. It could be one of those teams could get the number one seed.
And it kind of depends on what happens with UNC, with North Carolina. They're projected a number one seed right now. If they were to fall, today they're playing Maryland. I think they're just destroying Maryland right now. Yeah, 61-47 is that score. So if UNC were to fall early or not get to the championship game in the ACC tournament, that could open some doors there. So, you know, there are some opportunities. But, and I think a really good game today is going to be the next one up is Wisconsin and Indiana. I think is probably going to be the best game of the day.
Yeah, it should be that. Yeah, that should be a war, because Wisconsin is so physical, and Indiana is pretty physical too. And Indiana was so dominant at home this year. I don't think they lost a home game all year long. So that's going to be a very tough game.
Absolutely, and then the winner of that one will obviously play Michigan State. Either of those teams will be a good matchup for the Spartans. So I think I think the Big Ten tournament, the first round was, okay. I don't think there's any big surprises, but the second round I think is going to be, some of these games are going to be a bloodbath. Ohio State-Purdue is going to be another one of those bloodbath games tonight.
It will. That's another toughie. Well, we want you to stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break right here on AM 870 WKAR.
If you're confused about this record warm winter, consider the plants and the animals. I'm Ira Flatow. Join me on Science Friday for a look at how an early spring affects the flowers, the buds, the bees, all of nature. Plus, dark matter gets more mysterious, and planet or not, should Pluto get its own stamp? It's all on Science Friday from NPR.
And that's Science Friday on Talk of the Nation, coming up today at 3 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
Thank you for tuning in. I'm Scott Pohl with a look at the weather forecast. Our high today, 35 degrees, windy, and becoming mostly sunny. Partly cloudy with a low of 15 to 20 degrees tonight. Tomorrow, the high 50, mostly sunny and windy Saturday, mostly sunny and a high of 58 on Sunday.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527 or toll free, 877-9527-870. Our email address, sportstalk@wkar.org. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 1:05 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. If you've never called us before, we invite you to become a first-time caller. Join us in the afternoons. Call us up and talk sports right here on AM 870. Now, we were scheduled to have, Antonio Tarver on at the beginning of the show. Tarver has got a fight coming up in May on Showtime, and it hasn't been officially said yet. They're still trying to work out the final details. But he's fighting a guy, Coyote, who's 18-0 and with 14 knockouts. So it's going to be a young guy he's fighting. I sort of wanted to ask him about how it is, and we'll try to get him on again either next week or sometime in the near future to talk about he's 40 years old and he's still fighting, and he's fighting a young guy who's 18-0 with 14 KOs. He commentated on a couple of his fights and wasn't too complimentary of him, so it'll be interesting to see when we get him on what he says. And that Antonio Tarver still trying to move up, and he's fighting as a cruiserweight, but he's still planning on moving up into the heavyweight division again. So we'll just keep an eye on Antonio Tarver and how he's doing in the fight game. But we've got a lot of basketball to talk about today, I'll tell you. Boy, the Big Ten tournament is going full bore now, and all the tournaments are going, so there'll be a lot of teams being knocked out. We've got the state high school tournament going on great right now, so we've got all those teams. So if you're a basketball fan, this is the time. You're in basketball heaven now, watching high school and college teams. You're watching the tournament games now, and you know I'm looking at hopefully waiting for UFC going up against Notre Dame. Watch that game. There are just a lot of good games out there, and you've got your choice. You've got your choice of games to watch, and that just should be a whole lot of fun right here on AM 870 WKAR. Now, if you want, some of you probably there are. You're not only basketball fans out there. A lot of you are baseball fans, and you're going to be watching some of the baseball games and following that as you will. And we should also mention, we haven't really had a chance to mention some of the girls' games, but East Lansing, their girls are going back into district regional play, and they're facing, again, Grand Haven, which is a monster team. So East Lansing going to have to face them. That should be a very tough game for the girls of East Lansing. It should be a monster game to play, and you can watch some very good girls games as well in their arena, as they're going to have a very, very tough game. So just give us a call, talk sports with us right here on AM 870. You got baseball, you got the football. Everyone's wondering, where is Peyton Manning going to go? Where is Peyton Manning going to go? But right now, let's talk a little bit with Dennis. Dennis, how you doing?
Good. How you doing?
Okay.
Hey, what time is the tip-off for that Class B championship game tonight?
Oh, that's 7 o'clock.
It is 7?
Yep.
Okay, I was trying to navigate the website from my phone, and I just couldn't find a tip-off time, so good. I'll be heading out there. Is that the game you're going to?
Yep. Yeah, that Sexton Catholic Central game. It should be a doozy. Should be a good one.
Oh yeah, 221-1 team.
Yep.
In the same district. Yeah, that's outstanding. The winner of that game will probably win the state championship.
More than likely.
And I think you have to lean towards Sexton. They've just got an amazing squad. You rarely see that much D1 talent on one high school team
right
at the same time, particularly a Class B team. So, yeah. And Coach Valentine's just done a great job. We've got some, you know, we've talked about this in the past, mm-hmm. We've got some great coaching in the Lansing
yes.
area, just outstanding coaching, so the results speak for themselves.
That's for sure.
You're talking about a possible replacement for Weber down at Illinois?
Yep.
And the name I'm hearing is the inside, guy who has inside track is Shaka Smart out of Virginia Commonwealth.
Boy, if they can get, he signed that long term, but we know contracts don't mean anything. But if they can get him away from there, you know, that would be great for Illinois, that's for sure.
Well, you know, contracts mean something. I think the public has an idea that you sign your name, that's it.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's got out in that contract. And I think from what I hear, he has relationships with the Illinois athletic director going back quite a way, so I'd be surprised at this point if he doesn't get that job. And you know, Bruce Weber's team just seemed to quit on him.
It really did.
Yeah, I don't know how that happens, and but it did. And you know, he wrote his ticket out of town. If you look at his record, he still had a good record. I think he had over 200 wins and just over 100 losses, and went to a national championship game and won some Big Ten championships. But he's out. So,
yeah, you know, I'd heard so many of the players were looking ahead to their chances of making it in the NBA, which is unfortunate because, you know, you might think you're going there, but you need to wait till you actually get that shot. But I heard a lot of guys were looking forward to at least going to the draft a lot of them think they're going to make it to next league.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's the brass ring. And you get to major D1, you're pretty close. You're one step away, and I guess you can get ahead of yourself. I can't blame them. You know, all the money that's out there to be made and the dream of a lifetime, it's almost understandable if they get a little bit ahead of themselves. But, you know, at the same time, that's what a good coach will do, keep your feet on the ground and make you focus on the task at hand. So anyway, Earl, I will probably see you at the game tonight. I'm looking forward to that one. That is at Eaton Rapids, too, right?
Yep.
How big of a gym is that?
It's a pretty big gym. You know, they might even have to, I know they're going to open up the balconies. They said that. So it should be filled. I'm quite sure it's going to be about filled up to the balcony. So I'm going to try to get out there by 6:30 at least. It's going to be, because I'm pretty sure it's going to be packed out there.
Well, Earl, you got a free ticket wherever you go. So, you can get there at 5 after 7 to be a courtside. You're spoiled, man. But, yeah, I'm going to get out there early enough to get a nice sideline lower level seat because, that's the way I like to watch it. But it should be fun.
It should be a lot of fun. You could probably look up. I'll be up in the balcony somewhere.
No, you won't. Earl, I've seen you in more high school games than you see me because you don't look up at the stands where the peons are. But I see you courtside pretending to write notes.
Occasionally out there.
I see you acting like you're working. You're sitting up there enjoying yourself like I am. And I'm paying for the privilege, and you're right on the court. You're so close, you're hearing what the refs are telling the coaches. But, yeah, man. I'll look for you in the balcony. Right. Sure.
Okay. And we'll talk to you later, man. Yeah, that fight I was talking about, we'll see this fight with Antonio Tarver in May. Supposedly it's in its final stages. They haven't worked out all the details yet, but they're very close to it. But it looks like it's going to happen in May against this guy, Coyote, I don't know how the last name is pronounced, or Coyote. He's 18-0 with 14 KOs, and Antonio's taking on a big puncher. They say he's really a tough hitter, so we'll see what happens. But Antonio's supposed to be going up in May. We'll try to get him on again, that's for sure. We'll try to get Tarver on one more time. Hey, give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870. We've got 10 minutes to go. If you want to talk a little high school basketball, that's fine. Or you want to talk some of the college game, even the program. I know a lot of the pro game, we'll discuss more pros once the college season is ended. Once you get through March Madness, then you start paying attention to the pros and paying attention to how they're doing. They've got this shortened season. So we'll pay a little bit more attention to them right now. No, and of course, the Pistons have been so bad. Nobody's paying attention to the Pistons. They need to somehow get a few more wins, at least make people know that they're a relevant team again. But right now, they're not a relevant team. So they're just going to be on the sidelines, basically, like we all are, just watching the teams. And we'll just some of us. So that's the thing. It's funny. You look at all the teams out there, every single team, whether it's pro or college, has a bunch of diehard fans. Now, the Pistons probably don't have that many right now, but a lot of high school teams have diehard fans. A lot of college teams have diehard fans. And, and some of the pros have a few diehard fans. Like right now, if Miami's playing, it doesn't matter who they're playing, they're going to have a big crowd. I've seen some of their road games, some of their crowds on the road have not been that big. But for the most part, they've got a very vociferous and a big aggressive following, and that's what Miami has. And there's only a couple of programs that people really want to go see some of those teams. So that's one team that people are following, probably because LeBron is the guy they love to hate for the most part. He's trying to shed that thing where he's been considered a villain, trying to shed that villain that he has on his back. But who knows if he can or not. But it's certainly worth watching, watching him and watching the Miami Heat, because they're probably the best team in the NBA right now. Going up against the best team in the West is the Oklahoma City Thunder. They're pretty tough. So those are probably the two best teams. But Miami has the following, and people don't follow them they don't follow Oklahoma like they follow Miami. Just like the New York Knicks with Jeremy Lin coming on, the Knicks are getting a ton more attention now. They're selling out and playing in full houses. It's been a great move. They discovered Jeremy Lin sitting on their own bench. He was cut a couple of times, and he's turned out to be a very, very good player for them. So a lot of things going on in the sports world. And, of course, just following some of the NFL matchups, even in the NFL, you're following the draft, which is coming up. We're following Peyton Manning to see where he'll land. He's going to be he says he's going to make his decision after at least a week around. So we won't have hopefully too long before he'll say where he's going to go. So, Jacob, let me ask you, where is Peyton Manning going to go? Where will he end up at?
I have absolutely no idea. I don't think anybody really has any clue.
No.
You know, it's that whole situation is kind of a really tough situation. On the one hand, you understand why the Colts, you know, got rid of him. He's getting older, you know, his the money obviously involved, the injury, things like that. But at the same time, it's hard to envision it's Peyton Manning somewhere other than Indianapolis. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see where he lands. Like I said, he is getting older. So, wherever he goes, it's not like he's going to be there for a long time. So, not sure. Where do you think? Where do you think he's going?
I got a feeling that Miami is one that it looks like. I mean, that's the team that's being talked about a lot.
Everybody seems to be throwing them around. So.
Yeah, and that might be the one. I tell you, it's hard for me to get used to. It's still hard for me to get used to Indianapolis being in there instead of Baltimore. It was so long. It was the Baltimore Colts for years.
Yeah.
And, you know, they had such great players. And then they moved to Indianapolis. It just doesn't seem right to calling the Indianapolis Colts, who used to be the Baltimore Colts. I have a problem with that because I grew up a Baltimore Colts fan.
Well, yeah, I could see why that would be an issue then, yeah.
Yeah, and unfortunately, yeah, it is now, so I guess I'm going to have to – I'm still trying to get used to that after all these years that they've been in Indy, 14, 15 years, and longer than that, that's right. I mean, Peyton Manning was there 14 years, so it's probably been in Indy for at least 20 years or more, and I'm still trying to get used to it. I just can't get used to hearing Baltimore Colts or Indianapolis Colts over Baltimore.
You could just call them the Colts. Just don't put a qualifier on it. Don't put a city on it, and you'll be fine.
Yeah, I guess I have to try that one. Hey, give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR, 355-9527, toll free, 877-9527-870. Our email address, sportstalk@wkar.org. I know, Jacob, you were talking a little bit about basically what your best friend out there looking at the Spartans in the CCHA playing Miami. This is going to be a tough series for them tonight.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting one. Obviously, it's a very tough place to play, tough team to play. So we'll see how everything shakes out. But yeah,
well, where is the Spartans at right now? How big are they ahead in this basketball?
It is a 16-point lead, 90-74, about 49 seconds left. So Iowa made a little spurt there. If you look at Iowa's statistics, it's interesting. For starters, if you score 74 points in a Big Ten game, you usually have a pretty good shot of winning. That's usually a final. But when the other team scores 90, that's obviously not good. But if you look at their stats, I mean, if you're Iowa, you can't be too disappointed with the way you played offensively. 45% from the field, 53% from behind the arc with 10 three-point field goals. You shot 75% from the line. You only turned the ball over 10 times. So, I mean, their stat line is not too bad. It's just they just didn't play any defense. Michigan State, 58% from the field, 44% from behind the arc. Only 10 turnovers for them. So, obviously, Iowa's defense in this game was kind of the big difference. But Iowa offensively played a pretty decent game, but they didn't score many, 2-point field goals, only 13 2-point field goals to 10 3-point field goals. So that's going to do it, firing up a lot of threes in that game. But 92-74 now, the score, 33 seconds left. So Michigan State will advance to the next round.
Well, you know what's really disappointing in that game, Jacob, is that the Spartan fans won't be able to get any tacos.
Yeah, no tacos. But you see Adrian Payne, 7-for-8 from the field. He ends with 16 points. I mean, everybody pretty much had a good game. Even Travis Trice, 3-for-6 with 9 points. Derek Nix had 9 points on 3-for-6 shooting. Draymond Green ended with a double-double, 21 points, 10 rebounds. So, Brandon Wood got in there, scored 10 points. So everybody pretty much had a good game. Of course, Tom Izzo being the way he is, he will find plenty of things.
Yes.
He'll find a laundry list of things to correct before the next round. But we'll see if it's Indiana or Wisconsin. Michigan State's got a bit of a history this season with both those teams in terms of the games in the regular season. So it'll be interesting to see how those shake out. But Tom Izzo, one of the best quick preparers, turnaround preparers in the nation. So we'll see what tomorrow holds.
Yes. Now, one thing I noticed when I saw the stats before I came in here, I was watching the game on the screen, is Draymond had 3 block shots. How many block shots did he end up with, and how many did Michigan State end up with?
I don't know. My stats here don't show me. So you're really You're making me have to scrounge around here. Michigan State, 7 block shots, to and Iowa had 7 as well. So.
Okay. Hey, I want to thank you all for listening today. Thank you for calling. And we invite you to come back and join us again on Monday right here on AM 870 WKAR. Remember, you can join me for the Sunday Stout on Sports Show with Tim Stout and I coming up this Sunday. Want to once again wish Tim or congratulate him for his 19th anniversary and also for his birthday. He's got another year older. He's trying to catch up with me. Well, anyway, thank you all for listening and thank you all for calling today. We invite you to come back on Monday right here on AM 870 WKAR East Lansing. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock. Make sure you have yourself a very safe and pleasant evening, and we'll hear from you on Monday, right here on WKAR East Lansing.
Thanks for listening to Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR.